I do want to make brownies. I think I have all the ingredients here that I need. I have a box of mix, which told me I need the vegetable oil and the eggs and water, something to put them in, stir, measure, muffin tins, little individual papers, everything. I didn't bring the oven. There are three ovens downstairs. There's one that's unplugged. I could set it right here, but I hope you get the gist, you know. I said muffin tin, individual. We use cupcake papers. We make individual serving. I say we. It's Denise's invention, okay? Denise is an excellent brownie maker for 30 years. It has been a very simple thing for me to say, will you make me some brownies? And she always will. So I got to thinking, man, the only thing that would be better than that is if I could make them myself. Because I'm just talking about through the week, you know, when she's at the post office and I was here in the church, if I wanted some brownies, I could make them. And I'm probably not going to be real great at the first batch, but I figure the more batches I make, the better I'll get. And I could try to make us all brownies for next Sunday. If I get time, I'll make a batch before Sunday and I'll bring them. And if I make a dozen brownies and we have 100 people, everybody gets about 1/10 of a brownie. If I am able to make 12 brownies every day for 7 days, then I'll be able to provide 84 brownies and everybody will get almost a whole one. But if we all make a dozen brownies and everybody brings them, next Sunday we'll have 1,200 brownies. Or enough for everybody in town to have two. So that's really the question. How many brownies are we going to make this week? Or this year? You know, or going forward? This idea of laying out all the ingredients or providing the utensils, in a comparative sense, that's what we've been saying for the past 5 weeks. That's what we're trying to do as a church family. You have this partnership idea, partnership sermon series, and we've made our way down that left side. As a church, we want to try to provide the spiritual foundations and a meaningful worship experience and study communities and service and fun and all the above. You know, that's like we're trying to, let's lay out all the ingredients, all the utensils, everything we need. Now, who make the brownies? Me? Me as in KH, me? You know, or me as in all of the initials in the room? Because this morning, now we're switching over to the right side of this agreement, and the burden of responsibility is now going to shift to the individual disciple. Will I help make disciples in these areas of my life, which would be the home, the missions, the workplace, the community, and church, etc.? We had that link. I sent you a link to a video from Matthew West. The video was Do Something. You know, and they had all those images and the people asking the song, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. I created you. You know, in that course. If not us, then who? You know, and if you want to be honest about numbers, sometimes you have to look at numbers. We do okay. You know, we maintain. We could do better. You know, and I understand. Any decision for Christ matters. Right? Every soul immersed into Jesus, being instructed in the kingdom, that's a victory for eternity. One life always matters. You look at the numbers. You know, I can show you videos of two people that were baptized in 2019, two different people in 2018, six different people in 2017. I have computer records that are easy to access. They go back 28 years, and I could list for you 140 people who have been baptized into Christ, and we try to nurture them in the faith. You praise the Lord for that. The angels rejoice. Work is not done. We could do better. You have to, that's an average of five. If you keep bringing five people to the Lord a year, I don't know that that keeps up with population. You know, this idea of disciples, making disciples. So we have two now, and please do. Please keep inviting people to church. That works, albeit it's kind of a slow rate. You know, keep jumping in. We have these, let's be in the community. We'll have a carnival idea, invite a bunch of people, vacation Bible school, be in the parade, all these things. Keep doing that. You know, you get some return, but it's kind of small percentage wise. It's a long task. And any time the pattern becomes, okay, I'll get them to church and you do the work, you being the preacher or the Sunday school teacher, you take it from there, you know, it does have a return. We've proven that, but it's kind of slow. You know, and the culture is becoming more and more resistant to going into an invitation. Everybody's inviting them to everything. They don't have enough time to go to all the things people invite them to. You know, that's kind of, you're getting to the point where that'd be like depending on one person to make all the brownies or all the cinnamon rolls, if you want to be more accurate, you know. And to be honest, this whole brownie illustration thing almost did not get off the ground because I couldn't find the box. I'm standing in the kitchen in the pantry. We have this huge pantry. I'm looking. They're all, where are the brownies? I know we always have brownies. They're over in the cupboard over the baking stuff. I found them. Well, if I'd been making my own brownies, I'd know where we keep the box. We're going to try. You know, we're going to try to keep providing as a church family going forward. You know, you read Jesus' commission, go make disciples. Everybody in the room knows he wants us to go. And you say, where am I supposed to go? What does that look like? Do you mean I'm supposed to go door to door and knock on? Well, again, we can. Some returns, not the most effective in this day and age. How about we just start at home? How about everybody that's in the room? I'm going to go out from here this morning and I am going to make a commitment to help make disciples in my own family. Now, I'm going to say all right at the beginning, this is not a parenting sermon. Okay? This is not a marriage sermon. This is not just for dads. This is for everybody in the room. I don't care how old you are, whatever age you are in the family. You can be the little sister in the family. You could be the away at college young person, single mom. You could be the grandparents who are physically hundreds of miles away. You lead, by lead we mean direct, guide, move, help bring people closer to be disciples of Jesus. There are all kinds of instructions for the family in the Bible. We often look at Deuteronomy 6, 5 and following. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. And the very first thing out of the box is what? Impress them on your children. Great place to start. Chuck White shared this image. I know you can't read the fine print from Tracy Jacko. The title said, make sure your children are on the ark. This is what it said. Tonight during the message, my 9-year-old son, Jay, came to the realization that the children who were not on the ark didn't make it. And he came to me with a sad, questioning face, and all I could say was, their parents didn't make sure they were on the ark. The weight of that statement is still weighing on me. Of all the things I do for the kingdom of God, nothing is more important than making sure my children find a way to a relationship with Jesus. Matthew 16, 26, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Obviously, parents are the first line of opportunity in many a household to make disciples. But the parents are not the only family members who are so charged. Switch it to the kids, the young people. 1 Timothy 4:12, marching orders. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. But set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Now you're to like spiritual parenting. Like Ava standing here memorizing, or I know Emeretta can do all the books of the Bible. You know, example. And I know somebody might say, well, I got somebody in my family that's just not interested. They don't want to come to church. They don't want to believe. We keep trying. 1 Peter 3:1. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. And I put a caution here because I know there are some faithful people in this room and other churches, parents, spouses, children. I said, well, I've tried that for years. I have sought in vain to disciple. It's like the Proverbs. Okay, this is not an ironclad guarantee it's going to happen. But it's an overall principle. No? It is still a worthy effort for any age, for any family member. No? Don't give up. We keep trying. And the end might come, you'd be consoled by the Lord. He'll say, I know. You know, we both did everything we could do. Because that's where this message goes next. Am I doing things? Clearly there are instructions for the family. I would venture everybody in the room and say, well, I want to disciple my family. I'm not arguing the point. How do I do that? What's the best way to do that? And we're starting at home because this is where I can potentially be most influential. I trust we're busy. Everybody's busy. Who'd you spend more time around this week, your family or me? You don't answer that. That's different. You know, if I spend naturally more time around my family, there's a potential. Who spent more time around your family, you or their Sunday school teacher or their youth group leader? Turn in, later in your New Testament, turn in 1 Thessalonians 2, page 986, 1 Thessalonians Chapter 2, Paul writing to the people in Thessalonica, right in the middle there, about verse 7. 1 Thessalonians 2, 7. But we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Do you hear the family in there? Do you see the household illustration? You see the applications I gave you, the first letter E, three of those. How can I help disciple my family? First is expose. What did I do last week? And check yourself. To expose my family, and exposure is kind of getting a bad rap right now. Nobody wants to be exposed to the flu or certainly coronavirus or something. But this is the good exposure. It's a positive. It's a plus. To expose my family to God. I just want to live out, I want to model Jesus in front of my family. It's opposed to telling them what to do. I'm pretty confident that I can pull off these brownies because I've watched Denise do it numerous times. You know, she has demonstrated, she has lived out for me. I'm learning in the kitchen how to brown hamburger stuff. I learn it by watching her. Verse 8. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share not only the gospel, but our lives as well. I enjoyed sitting in the stands with Derek on Thursday night. We were scouting whoever won that game would play his team in his team's opening tournament round yesterday. We worked together. And I sat there, somebody might say, well, yeah, but your kid's 28. He's grown and gone. You can't disciple him. Well, sure I can. And he disciples me. That's a good question for any parent-child combo in the room, even if only one of you is in the room. How am I doing? Well, yeah, we're both older. You think you're done? Is there a verse in the New Testament that says, okay, you and your kids are mature enough? And I know a particular older lady, not in this room, it's because she says she doesn't want to go to church anymore. And she has a reason, and there's somebody, and an attitude, and some bitterness, and you look at that, and you say, man, I know your kids are literally in their 60s now, but you're still discipling them because they are watching what you do. James Baldwin observed this. Children have never been good at listening to their elders, but they have never failed to imitate them. And somebody else wrote it this way. Children are natural mimics who act like their parents in spite of every attempt to teach them good manners. If you are blessed to be in a marital situation, the marriage can be a mutual discipling relationship. I see Denise in the morning. She reads, she studies, she memorizes. Disciple, challenge me. Kenneth Boa wrote this spiritual formation book. It should not be surprising that among couples who pray and read the scriptures together on a consistent basis, the divorce rate is minimal. When husbands take the initiative in spiritually nurturing their wives in gentle and supportive ways, they foster an environment in which spiritual oneness grows and it enhances the psychological and the physical oneness. And he goes on to the parent-child dynamic. When parents model what it is to love and walk with Jesus, they develop an authenticity that gives them authority and credibility to teach and train the kids. That's Paul's effort in verse 10. Holy, righteous, blameless. What's blameless? Not perfect. But he's not doing things that are going to give him cause for shame or embarrassment. Just plug in whatever example from the recent State of the Union address you want to use there. I'm not going to be perfect in front of my family. That is not possible. But I'm aware and I'm trying. And then if and when I get in a tough spot, they'll look at me and say, well, I don't blame him. He's blameless. I would do the same thing. That's what we're talking about with blameless. And this is a test. Have you ever complained about a family member? Don't answer out loud. No. Has it become habit? It's just kind of normal for me to want to fuss, either about their effort or lack thereof. No. If I am fussing about family, they got a critical spirit. They're always full of excuses. Never any effort. No. Are they seeing that from me? If I look in the mirror, honestly, is that what they see modeled? I come home and they're complaining about what happened at work. Fussing about what somebody did or didn't do. Give an excuse why I didn't get done. Are they imitating that to which they have been exposed? Can I equip them? That's the second E. Equip. Teaching. Imparting the information. The instructions are on the box. That's the knowledge part. Training. Learning. My biggest part is learning how to stir without slopping everything everywhere. It can be for any age in the room, and any family dynamic. What do you have to share with a family? And the church comes in, right? The church commitments, we got to provide the study opportunity. We got to be able to provide you some information. Somebody said you can't pour from an empty cup. That makes sense. We're trying to help with the teaching. This is, you can help participate. We got a service training right there Saturday. Come and be in the carnival and help and serve, and I hope that's a big night. I hope there's a lot of people, which comes with a lot of potential for a lot of problem, a lot of grief. People with attitudes. Could be any number of things. But all of us are equipping each other to say, this is how you serve and disciple in the midst of that. Nobody likes to just sit in class all the time. Sit in class. Sometimes I just assume take the test. It's like, who wants to practice, never play the game? At least let's play the game. We might lose the game, but we know what we need to work on. That's what we're talking about here. And you're just naturally going to have more time to equip your own household. You will have more time than their Sunday school teacher or youth group leader. Verse 7, like a mother caring for her little children. And the World Wildlife Fund reports that the bond between an orangutan mother and her young is one of the strongest in nature. During the first 2 years of life, the baby depends on mom for everything, entirely, food and transportation. And those babies stay with their mom for 6 or 7 years. And she'll teach them where to find food, what to eat, how to build a sleeping nest. It says female orangutans are known to, quote, visit their mother until they reach the age of 15 or 16. It says the older elephants adjust the pace of the herd so the calf can keep stride. They said cheetah mothers raise their young in isolation, and they move the litter, which could be from 2 to 6 cubs, every 4 days to prevent a buildup of smell that predators can train. There's some moms in here going, yeah, build up a smell. I know what that is. When I'm at home, I have the opportunity to equip individually. Anybody that's had more than one child knows they're all different. Even identical twins are not identical in every regard. Equipping them according. And I don't know if you can see on that picture. I kept looking at that going, man, that mom has a weird hairdo. That's the sideways cub. Can you see he's looking out that way. That's the third cub. He's probably going to be the one that's always sideways. And maybe you have to back this up a little bit. Notice It's a simple thing to notice my family members. This is, Chris Irwin gave me this book. He said, read through this book. He said, I might use it for intermission curriculum. See what you think. Nine arts, spiritual conversation. You can see they're grouped into three groups of three. And the first three fall under this heading of getting ready. This could all be, it's like, oh, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for disciple. That's fine. You're getting ready. And the first art of the first set, the first step, notice. Do I just notice what's going on at home? Do I see people? Here's a question. How many games still need a worker for the carnival? Did you notice? Please don't say what carnival. There's a table out there with a parachute, all these colors. Do you notice? Oh, that's not for me. How many weeks has this curtain that's hanging behind me been gray as opposed to white? Did you notice? Noticing. And this is where we usually say, look up from your phone, and I ain't even picking on the millennials. You can take the lead. Young people, you be the ones. Put your phone down and call out mom and dad. Say, you guys are as guilty as me. You know, put that thing down. And Bob and Carrie got a word from Tori. She said, just so you know, I'm abandoning, giving up all my social media, save one. You know, so I'd like to see how that works out. The better I am at noticing a family member, where they are, what they need, the better I'm equipped to help them. And then to encourage them. You know, we're trying to create an environment where discipleship is the norm in the household for all. This is not going to take root overnight, maybe. And I might have to encourage. You give somebody an opportunity, they go out, they try it, they come back. How do we do? Evaluate. Jesus in Matthew 10, he's sending out the disciples. You guys go preach and teach, then come back, we'll talk about it, see how it did. Paul at the end here in 12 is like the father. And the father does what? Encouraging, comforting, urging. I think culture has redefined. They just want encouraging to mean, just tell me what I did right. Just tell me where I'm good. Everybody wants to hear that 100% of the time. Nobody wants to be urged, which is, you weren't right there. You didn't do so well. And I've been reading some stuff, and they said both the discipler, the mentor and the protege, the disciple, both need to be, and they said, fat and hot. Different. What do they mean? Be fat and be hot. You can see them. Faithful, available, teachable. Be fat and be hot. Honest, open, transparent. How does our family dynamic grade out at being fat and hot? You know, I'm grateful. I understand there are people in this room who were there and continue to be there if Derek or Brandon have something they don't want to talk to us about. I understand that. You know, but I still want to try to be as open as possible, as available, as honest. I couldn't come up with a word for the three letters that I had, but it's the same concept. You know, if you want a good tool for urging family without their defenses coming up and the walls and just shutting down and closing up, lead by questions. You ask. If you go barreling in, I told you both not to, now I have to, every time, what's going to happen? They're not going to respond to that. And you got it. I know this starts with a deep breath. What was your thought process here? What am I not communicating well enough? Did we not all agree that no one's going to come traipsing through the living room with slushy, muddy boots? It's a question. You know, it takes time. It takes practice. This is where I want my family member to end up. And if I just go in, blast them, I know what I'm going to get. But if I can ask the right question to see, what are you thinking here so that we can move there? In all this, the end goal is internal. That's tough with it. Discipleship's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You're probably not going to check the box off tomorrow. I know last week we did, you know, books of the Bible, let's challenge. And I saw a handful of people who said, okay, I'll do it and post a score. And I saw a bigger group of people. I saw them literally physically putting them out on the table. They weren't going to write their name on the wall, but they could do it. And I saw a bigger group than that of people that I know worked on them. And they studied, and they got, and can I chart all of that? No. Did I personally see all the growth that took place? I can't. Doesn't mean it's not happening. Internal training. Disciples don't get physically taller because they're growing in discipleship. So I'm going to wrap up the first one. We're going to walk down this right side of this partnership, and just this is for the right side, the left side, for the whole thing. Okay, don't forget this little tidbit. These people are not our disciples. You're not trying to make another you. The world already has one of you. Ask your family, they'll probably say one's enough. we're seeking to lead or guide or direct or move people closer to Jesus. They are his disciples. Now, it may so be that I have more time with my own family than with other people. That's why we put that first. But you might find yourself called to invest in someone else's life for a season, a short period of time. Either way, all the ways, they are Jesus' disciples, not mine. But leading my family toward Jesus, whatever my age, that's worth any effort. Let's pray. Father God, we just ask that you would equip us. May we be able to clearly see you as both our source and our goal. And you enable each of us, you provide, you equip, you strengthen. It is your Spirit that helps us to move toward this end and accomplish these tasks. And we pray that we would be dependent upon you and devoted to you, and then willing to begin at home. It doesn't matter our age, it doesn't matter our title in the household, but all of us can encourage and equip and just try to, Father, train and enable. We just pray that our example would be one that would honor you this week. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.